17, 1 Samuel chapter 17. We are continuing our series called 41 Will Come. We are looking at, as you know, 40 in biblical numerology is the number of testing. And we've been looking at different instances in the Bible where something has taken place for a period of 40 days or 40 years. And we're going on the premise that even though that time of testing is lasting for that 40 days or that 40 years, it's good to know that 41 will come. There is a time when that testing ends. There's a time when that difficult period is over. We've looked at Noah, and we saw how it rained for 40 days and 40 nights, but Noah recognized God's presence with him in the ark during that time of testing. And then we looked at Moses and the three 40-year periods in his life, and we saw God's purpose in those 40 years, that Moses would be used to bring his people, God's people out of Egypt. And then we looked at the 12 spies and God's provision, and we looked at their 40 days spying out the promised land, and the fact that they missed the point of 41 was coming. And then we looked at their 40-year wandering in the wilderness, and we saw God's provision. Well, we're going to look tonight in 1 Samuel 17 at quite a well-known account in the scripture of Goliath. We're not necessarily going to look at David's battle with Goliath, but we're going to look at what takes place for 40 days. So we're just going to look at a few verses tonight. And what we're going to look at, we just see from verse we'll read from verse 1. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together at Shochoch, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shochoch and Azekah in Ephes-Damin. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And they went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines, named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span, and he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders, and the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and he had 8 sons. And the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. And the 3 elder sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. And the names of his 3 sons that went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, and the next unto him, Abinadab, and the 3rd, Shammah. And David was the youngest, and the 3 elders followed Saul. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for this time together tonight and for this opportunity to come around your word. Father, we recognize that we are indeed in a period of testing. We recognize that this period of testing has lasted longer than 40 days. But Lord, from a symbolic point of view, we recognize that 41 is indeed coming, that these days of difficulty will indeed come to an end, and that we can learn the lessons, the spiritual lessons that you have for us during these times of difficulty. So, Father, would you just encourage us tonight as we look at the fact that you will protect us through these times of difficulties, and we can see your protection on the hand upon David, Lord, as he faced the giant Goliath. And Father, help us to take comfort from your word, from your presence, from your peace, from your provision, and from your protection. For we pray and ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. So Goliath threatens Israel for 40 days. He mocks them and challenges them and tells them to send out a man to face him, to fight him to the death. He does this for 40 days, morning and evening, 80 times. He has mocked the armies of Israel. And each time he does, Israel responds by hiding. They respond in fear. They see Goliath as completely and utterly unbeatable. Even their powerful King Saul. If you remember, Saul was head and shoulders above everybody in Israel. But not even Saul is big enough and powerful enough to go against this giant. So fear rules the day in Israel. And here's the thing. In our time of testing, sometimes we can feel taunted. We are taunted, but 41 will come. There are times, and you can imagine Goliath comes out there and in verse 11, when Saul and Israel heard the words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Goliath is mocking them. Goliath is standing there and is laughing because this mighty army of Saul's is too afraid to come out and face him. They are frozen with fear. The word dismayed there means terrified, broken down, discouraged. And that is the same problem today. The reason why we struggle to get through our 40 days, one of the reasons why we can't enjoy the fact that 41 will come is because of discouragement. And Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. We can become frozen because of fear, and we can become almost paralyzed with discouragement. And sometimes our problems taunt us. I remember when Jo first discovered that she had a spinal problem, and she would literally be months, almost paralyzed on the bed and not able to move. And every single day, it was as if our troubles were just taunting us. You're not able to do this anymore. You can't go there anymore. And you can't take part in this anymore. And that adds to the problem. And then you'd have people telling us why Jo was unwell, because she hadn't confessed her sin, because we didn't have enough faith for her to be healed, and all of that kind of stuff. And those taunts just kind of get added to your problems. And we find ourselves in that situation today, surrounded by this pandemic and lockdown and all of this stuff. Every time you turn on the news, every time you read a newspaper, it's as if our problems, it's as if our 40 days, it's as if our Goliath is taunting us. Things aren't normal yet. Will things ever get normal? Will church ever be back to the way it was? Will people ever come back in the numbers that they were? Will you ever go back to any kind of normality? And you just feel taunted. Sometimes our troubles, our difficulties, our trials taunt us. But here's the thing. Goliath could taunt them all he wanted for 40 days, but 41 was coming. There was coming a day when God would send his man to deal with Goliath. Sometimes we're troubled. Well, we're taunted by our troubles. But 41 will come. We recognize the fact that we're tainted by our troubles. But 41 will come. Sometimes we can allow our troubles to define us. Sometimes we can allow these days of testing, this 40-day period, if you like, or this period of testing. You understand when I say 40, I don't just mean that, in 40 days it'll all be done and over, but you recognize this time of testing. We can get tainted by it because we can become so absorbed by it. We lose our focus. We lose our fellowship with the Lord. We take our eyes off our Savior and put them on our troubles. We're told in verse 12, David was the son of Jesse, and we see that there's Jesse's three elder sons were there, Eliab and Abinadab and Shammah, and David was the youngest, but the three elders followed Saul. That is so apt. The three eldest followed Saul. Perhaps that's the reason why the armies were so fearful, because they followed Saul instead of following the Lord. Do you know what I've heard time and time and time and time and time and time again since March? We're following the science. We're following the science. Well, can I say this? Can we tell science to get its act together then so that we can get through this nonsense? These men were following Saul. They weren't following the Lord. And one of the reasons why we get so tainted in our trials and troubles is because we're not following the Lord. We're following the whims of the world. We're following the advice of maybe a secular crowd. We're following the wrong things, when what we need to be doing is trusting in the Lord with all of our hearts and leaning not into our own understandings. In all our ways, we're meant to be acknowledging Him and allowing Him to direct our paths. And sometimes we get tainted by our trials because we allow them to affect us so much that they hinder our walk. We've been promised that spiritual light of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's told us that He is the light of the world. We're meant to follow Him. Allow Him to illuminate our path. Allow Him to guide our steps. He's told us He'll give us the strength to get through whatever it is we go through. He said, I'm the vine. You are the branches. We can't do anything unless we abide in Him. But sometimes it's as if we're abiding in our trials and not abiding in the Lord. So we become tainted by our problems. But 41 is still coming. The Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. These armies remained inactive for 40 days. Now here's the thing. In this time, the Israelites didn't have a full-time army. They didn't have, the IDF force. They didn't have the Israel Defense Force. They didn't have, once you became a certain age, you just joined up. And what would happen is you would be called in. So these men were farmers. They were regular people. They were just left their homes and their occupations to respond to their ruler's call for volunteers. Men worked in the field. They only left when danger threatened. For these men to be gone 40 days would have brought great hardships on the families whose sons and workers were absent. That's why Jesse sends David to bring food to his elder sons. So why are they so inactive for these 40 days? Why does there seem to be this stalemate? Well, Goliath comes down into a valley. If the Israelites went down into the valley, then the Philistines would have the high ground and they would just attack. Vice versa. If the Philistines came down into the valley, the Israelites would have the high ground and then they would attack. So we kind of have this stalemate where nobody's moving. 40 days is a long time and would be such a burden, which is why Jesse sends David to the battlefield to take provisions to his sons. Jesse said unto David, his son, in verse 17, take now for thy brethren an ephah of the parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. How incredible that Jesse just thought that he would send David to provide for his sons. He just thought he was sending David to take care of the provisions. But God had other plans. You know, it's incredible sometimes who the Lord puts in our lives to make such a difference to our lives. I wonder sometimes if some of the people that bump into in the past, but they've gone on to literally change our lives because the Lord has placed them in our path. And how incredible we can look back on our time, even in a time of trouble. And we can recognize, if you like, those divine appointments where the Lord has just placed somebody in your path. And maybe that person has come just to say, 41's come in. One day these trials are going to be over. And we're going to get through this. And the Lord will get you through this. How incredible that David was simply ready for the task in hand. Whether that was being obedient to his father to take provisions to his brothers, or being obedient to the Lord to say, go and take care of this giant. David was sent out on a menial task, but was used greatly by the Lord because of his obedience. Now Saul in verse 19, and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper and took and went and as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to fight and shouted for the battle for Israel. And the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked to them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistine, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. David's responsibility was simply to care for his sheep. And you can see the shepherd's heart in David. Dad gives him another task, and automatically the shepherd kicks in, and he now wants to take care of his brothers. And it's incredible how David, by obeying his father's command, actually puts himself in harm's way. As he arrives on the front line, the armies are lined up for battle, shouting war cries at one another. And they were organized to fight, but were not in the battle. The battle was in array, which means they were organized in rows. It's almost as if it describes many Christians today. The army looked like an army, but it wasn't actually performing the function of an army. And sometimes our trials can taint us so much that we look like a Christian, but we're not actually performing the function of a Christian. We become so tainted by our trials, not claiming the promise that 41 will come, that we're no longer effective as a Christian. Oh, we look the same, and you know, we kind of say the right things at the right time. We're not actually performing the function of a Christian. The army looked like an army. The army looked perfectly like an army. But what is an army meant to do? To fight. That's what they were there for. But they weren't doing it. You know, what is a Christian meant to do? He's meant to trust the Lord. He's meant to pray. He's meant to read his word. He's meant to be a witness. He's meant to be conformed into the image of Christ rather than being conformed to the image of the world. The battle was in array, but they weren't doing anything. And when David runs into the army, he hears this Philistine spouting all of his nonsense. We said this morning that we've got a race to run. And that's all David was doing. He was just running his race. David heard the same cries of Goliath, except he just heard it one time rather than hearing it for 40 days, 80 times over 40 days. He heard it one time. One life yielded to the Lord can make a difference to many more lives. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Everything that's gone on for the past 40 days takes place at this instance that David is on the scene. But rather than cowering in fear, David simply trusts in God's protection. Here's the thing. We are taunted with our trials, but 41 will come. We can be tainted because of our trials, but 41 will come. Sometimes we feel powerless in our trials, but 41 will come. In verse 24, all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And in verse 28, Eliab, David's eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and thy naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou might seest the battle. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? When Goliath comes out again, everybody is petrified. Once again, they're frozen in fear. They're paralyzed by panic. They're traumatized by terror. They're disabled by dread. And David is like, what is going on? Why are you so fearful? You know, aren't you all trusting in the Lord? And sometimes when we come to our trials, when we come to our 40 days, when we come to our periods of testing, when we come to our periods of difficulty, we feel so powerless. We like to be in control. The second nature. Every one of us likes to be in control. Let me ask you this question. How many of you have to have the remote control to the TV either in your hand or really, really close by? Nobody. I might need some online help now then. So nobody in the church has ever put the telly on and thought, I've got to have a remote control right next to me. Anybody online ever done that? I can wait for the responses. Well, Jana said amen, so I don't know if that was to a comment made earlier before or whether that's because, yes, we are. But the point is this, we like to be in control. We like to be in control of things. We don't like it when things are out of our control. We don't like to be in a queue that we can't control because we want that queue to move a little bit faster. We don't like it when there's a traffic jam. And, your mother's just responded, of course, and that's definitely about the remote control. We don't like it, and my dad said yes. We don't like it when there's a traffic jam and we can't control that traffic jam because we want to get to our destination quick. And even in the instance when we're not well, we want to control it and we want to make it better because we don't like it when it's out of our hands. Sometimes trials come and we are powerless. And there is nothing that we can do about it. But we're powerless without the Lord's help. Christ said, without me, ye can do nothing. We feel powerless when we're discouraged. You look at Nehemiah. Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burden is decayed. When he looked at the task ahead of what needed to be done with the walls, his heart fainted, he was dismayed. We're powerless when there's a lack of prayer. There is none that calleth upon thy name, Isaiah 64:7. There is none that calleth upon thy name that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee, for thou hast hid thy face from us and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. Eliab is upset and angry that David is at the battle site. Eliab has ignored David's mission. David's mission was to deliver food. He insults David's ministry. You just look after a few sheep. He interprets David's motives. I know why you're here. Eliab doesn't know anything. He's angry because David is willing to do something about this Philistine, and everybody else has just stood in fear. David is reprimanded by his brothers, but criticism doesn't stop David from doing what the Lord has called him to do. You know, when you go through a time of trial, when you go through a period of difficulty, there'll be plenty of people to offer advice. There'll be plenty of people to tell you why you're doing it wrong. There'll be plenty of people telling you why you're in this position in the first place. There'll be plenty of people telling you what you should have done differently. Can I just say this? Just be careful with those who have the gift of discouragement, because that just adds fuel to the fire when we're going through a trial. I was going to say, make sure you stay around positive people, but that's not a good thing to say today. It's amazing what God can do with one person. One man, Moses, led a nation out of Egypt. One man, Jonah, preached for 40 days, and millions came to know the Lord. One man It's amazing what God can do with one man. Can I say this? 41 will come. David is taken to King Saul in verse 32. David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servants will go and fight with this Philistine." David tells him not to be afraid. He deals with their panic. Psalm 118:6 says, "The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me." David knows the truth of Psalm 23 that he would write later on. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me." David knew that God cared for his life. David knew that God would bring him through. David knew that God would take him to 41. 41 will come. Trust the Lord. David deals with the panic. David just refers to himself as the king's servant. But if you remember from our study of Samuel, and if the ladies have been listening to the ladies' meetings over the past few months, we recognize at this point David has already been anointed to be king. Samuel's already anointed David to be king, and yet David refers to himself as the king's servant. James 4 says, "But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." If you want help in getting through your 40 to recognize the 41 will come, then sometimes we just need to humble ourselves before God and recognize our position in the Lord. David promises to fight Goliath. David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail him because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." David promises to fight Goliath. That's what everybody's been waiting for. For 40 days. All David did was depend upon the Lord. And that's all we need to do. Can I say this? We're powerless, but 41 will come. We are perplexed, but 41 will come. Our answer is not in understanding the problem. Our answer is not in analyzing our situation. Our answer is not in trying to make a solution to our difficulty. Sometimes we're just perplexed. Saul said to David in verse 33, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth and a man of war from his youth." Saul questions the ability of David. You're too small. You're too little. You can't do it. You're not able to do it. You know, lots of people will say to us how foolish we are because we attend church. How foolish we are because, you know, we believe the Lord Jesus Christ. What? You go 3 times a week? What do you want to do that for? That's crazy. What? You read your Bible lunchtime on a lunch break instead of watching YouTube. What's all that about? Why? You don't drink. It's incredible how Eve gets ridiculed because she doesn't drink. And she's the odd one because drinking is normal. I just find that really funny because people say, "Well, yeah, that's foolish. Well, you don't mess around sexually. Well, what that... that's just odd." And sometimes the world looks at us like we're crazy. Saul didn't believe that David could win this fight. But the fight wasn't David's. The fight was the Lord's. And David knew that. David knew that the Lord would be with him. David knew that the Lord would protect him. It didn't matter about David's ability. It didn't matter about David's age. You know, when you look at how young Joseph was, when Joseph led Potiphar's household and then at such a young age took Egypt through the period of 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. When you look at how young Daniel was, when he stood up to refuse to eat the king's meat and even standing before Nebuchadnezzar to interpret his dream. Yeah, it doesn't matter what the age is. Saul comments about David's youth. We ought not to underestimate not the ability of David, but the ability of his God. Goliath had been a warrior from his youth. The trial is too big. The task is too large. Oh, believer, you'll never get through that time of difficulty. There'll never be a light at the end of the tunnel. Oh, you'll never get through it. And sometimes we're perplexed, and maybe those thoughts do creep into our mind. Maybe we do think this battle is too big. Maybe we do think this trial is never going to end. Maybe we do think there's just no way we can get through this. But then God sends us a David sometimes to say, 41 will come. David was the answer to that prayer. 41 did come. In a David shape. All we have to do is have confidence in the Lord, because 41 will come. Job 23:10 says, "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." We just need to develop the proper priorities, because 41 will come. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not on the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We just need to develop patience, because 41 will come. Knowing this, James 1:3 says, "The trying of your faith worketh patience." Saul tries to fix things himself and then suit David up in his armor, and David says, "Saul, that's not going to fit. I don't need your armor. I just need the Lord." David's armor was different to Saul's armor. If you like, Saul's armor was an armor of the flesh that didn't fit. David's armor was the armor of God, which fitted perfectly. Can I say this, church? 41 will come. Sometimes our trials just absolutely taunt us. And we feel defeated and fearful. And every single day, it's as if the trial that we're in is just rearing its head once again. Come on, stand up and fight like a man. And we're just quaking in our boots. And our trials are just taunting us every single day. But guess what? 41 will come, our trial will be over. Sometimes our trials taint us. And it's as if we've been soiled by the world, dirtied by the world, and the trial that we're in is actually molding us and shaping us instead of us being molded and shaped by the Word of God. And sometimes our trials taint us, but 41 will come. Sometimes we are powerless. We can't fix the trial we're in. We can't work it out why we're in this trial. We can't make this trial right, as it were. But we need to trust God, because 41 will come. Sometimes we are perplexed. We don't understand why we're in it. We don't understand why we're going through it. We can't work out what we've done or when we've done it to put it in this position. And I think it's at that point, when we are perplexed, that we're able to turn to the Lord and say, right, okay, it didn't make sense sending a young teenage boy. David is probably about 13, 14, that type of age when he faces Goliath. It doesn't make any sense. Sometimes God's ways don't make sense, because he uses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, the weak things of the world to confound the mighty. God just wants us to know that no matter what we do, he is in control. 41 will come. All we need to do is trust him. And he might just send us a David. We don't like facing giants in our walk with the Lord, because they scare us, they frighten us, and we feel powerless against them. Sometimes the Lord will send us a giant every now and again, just so that he can develop our spiritual muscles. Maybe the Lord will send you a David to help you in your trial. Or maybe you are that David. And we just need to trust the Lord, just like David did. 41 will come. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this time together tonight, for this opportunity to come around your word. Would you continue to speak to our hearts, Lord? We recognize the fact that we are struggling in these days. We recognize the fact that we are fearful. We are trying to work things out. We are holding on to every bit of positive news that comes from the media, which isn't much. But Father, we're not meant to work things out. As much as people are following the science, we just want to follow the Lord. Help us, Lord, to recognize that this time of difficulty will come to an end at some point. And we take comfort in the fact that 41 will come. Lord, would you just help us? Even when we feel taunted, would you just come alongside us and enable us to take the barrage that the giants of our trials throw at us? We feel powerless, but then in our weakness, your strength is made perfect. We feel perplexed, but you've told us not to understand anything, but simply to put our faith and trust in you. And Lord, that's what we want to do. We just trust you. We recognize the fact that 41 will come, that there will be a day when these trials will be over, and we'll be ever mindful to give you all the glory and the honor and the praise for it. Father, we just pray now that if there's somebody here tonight listening to these words who's struggling with a particular trial, who's going through a period, and may have lasted longer than 40 days, but we recognize that there is a period of time that they have been really under the hammer, as it were, that they have been really pounded by the storms of life. Father, would you just draw near to them tonight? And would you whisper in their ear that 41 is indeed on its way, that there will be a time when you'll bring them through these times of difficulty, that you'll bring them safely across to the other shore. Father, we thank you so much for all that you do for us. We love you and we praise you, and we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.